Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by the super patrons, and I'm about to shout them out. Thank you so much to Chester Copperpot, Jade, Jillian Morgan, Aaron Layton, Adam Horn, Andrew Gray, Casey McCain, Crystal Trujillo, Jen Robinson, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate, Kiki Newton, Stanton, Valerie, and Will Nash.
Kick.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, the one podcast to rule them all.
And in the RSS feeds, bind them.
And that should be the last time we get to say that for a good long while. This is the mailbag episode, just wrapping up things for the Rings of Power.
Mailbag. Here's the mail and never fails him.
Sorry. That was kind of cool to the what's that called, that instrument?
Harp?
The harp. Press it again.
Was that a harp?
Mostly we're doing this episode. We got a few really good emails, but mostly we're just doing this for Steve to be vindicated because we could not believe he was he was not available to just bask in his glory of sticking to his guns about Halbrand being Sauron. Steve, anything you want to say to the fans at home real quickly about, you know, your genius?
I want to take this time to thank Jesus. I want to thank my parents for always believing in me. Guys, I was right. Never, ever doubt me, okay? Especially when there's a deceiver afoot. You can't deceive a deceiver, all right? And somehow I've deceived all of you into thinking we're a professional podcast. Uh-huh. You can't deceive a deceiver.
That's true.
And so as soon as Halbrand showed up and it was like, no, sir. That is not Halbrand. He is Sauron. But in all honesty, like last week was Blink, and so you guys did a great job without me. I think I mentioned that last week.
It was all right.
You guys did a great job. You did a great job. I love this. It was actually kind of fun listening to your guys' takes of both Rings of Power and Hot D without me, because it's almost like I was a fan. Like, what?
You just got to be a listener.
What are Chris and Andy going to say? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, because we didn't even talk to you that week.
No. So. No, you were like, who's Steve? Who dis? No,
you're dead to us.
But yeah, I was doing Blink, and so I was up super late at night, and like I was so busy, I couldn't really have time to do anything. But I remember I came home. I think it was Saturday night. I came home. No, I'm sorry. It was Friday night. Came home. It was really late. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to turn on Rings of Power while I eat dinner or something. And you know, that episode opens up, and then the cult of Sauron's like, oh, the stranger, you're Sauron. And I was on my couch like, bullshit. Nope.
Not convinced.
Not even for a second. No way. And then as soon as they get Halbrand into the city, I forget the city's name, but they get him to the city. And then the next scene, he's like 100% fine. And he's like geeking out to Celebrimbor, hello, about everything in this shop. I'm like, oh, this fucking guy. There's no way. And then as the episode kept happening, I was that meme of Louise from Bob's Burgers going, ah! I was right. It was a very fun viewing experience.
I wish I could have been there.
I'm sad I wasn't there with you guys. I can't imagine the three of us watching that episode together as all that shit.
It would have been hyped. At the moment where the cults called him Sauron, I said, aha, like slightly suspicious, but also like weird. And then Andy's like, he audibly was like, I'm not buying it. That is a clear red herring. And he was correct about that. But yeah, I mean, it's funny how that journey transpired, because I think it was either me or just me reading an online theory that he was Sauron, and you were like, oh, that would be cool. But then at some point,
no, I texted you.
Yeah,
guys.
You text us.
I texted you guys about it.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was editing an episode that we, and you might have said
you were
something
like crazy
in,
theory.
Because I texted you guys as I was editing, I think episode 2, and I just was like, "Hey, I just had this thought. We didn't have it on air, but I talked about it in episode 3." But I was as I was editing episode 2, I'm like, "Guys, crazy theory. What if Halbrand's Sauron?"
Yeah, I think that would be a really cool dynamic because they're getting so close. And then at some point in the middle of the season, I became thoroughly convinced at something that happened, like, oh, they're clearly not going with Halbrand as Sauron. And even a couple episodes later, you were like, I think you're probably right, but I'm sticking to my guns, you know, and like just being humble. And it, how it all panned out. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Great stuff, Steve. Great work.
Never ever doubt Steve.
Never again. I have doubted him frequently, but I will never again.
Mm-hmm. No, I am J.R.R. Tolkien reincarnated.
You right? are Steve R.R. Tolkien.
Let me tell you about the Psalm.
Well, we got a few emails. My first one comes in from Andrew D.
Oh, not Andy.
No. Andrew D.
Andy.
We've read his emails on the episodes before. They're great, great stuff. He says, and I quote, let's talk Rings of Power. First off, I understand everyone's disdain for the Amazon's portrayal of Isildur. He didn't say the Amazons. I made it sound weird. But what if it was done by design? Almost like it was just Wonder Woman talking about Isildur. Almost feels like they purposely made him out to be this young, clumsy shithead that doesn't know what he wants and keeps hearing voices in his head. And then, as the story only fire can tell goes, he just happens by chance to stumble upon Sauron in battle and luckily bests him with a swing of his broken blade. I didn't read the book, so I'm not sure if that's what Tolkien intended originally, but I thought that might be the case in this series. I'd be interested to hear y'all's thoughts on that theory. And then he talks about Halbrand potentially being Sauron, and I chuckled a little bit reading it just now. But he says, lastly, thank you all for your continuing coverage of Rings of Power. I know the growing sentiment is that most people that like Hot D better and want to bash T-Rop. But honestly, I kind of like this show better. Ducks, tomatoes being thrown. They're both great, to be fair. Listening to your guys' harsh criticism of episode 4, I think, or was it 3? I don't remember.
I know we made one of those
fans pretty mad, but we just opened with our honest take and we tried to have fun with it. I still stand by that. It was very discouraging, and I almost thought of not listening to y'all's Rings of Power coverage anymore because that episode just kind of poured some real cold water on the show, and I didn't want this podcast ruining my enjoyment of it. To be fair, it was a relatively crappy episode contextual to all the others, but damn did Chris go in. In my opinion, it wasn't that bad. Hate is a strong word, my friend. But then he goes on to say, I'm glad you guys gave it a chance and I had a good time. But I want to talk about, like, do you guys think that our dislike of the character of Isildur is perhaps intentional, knowing how the character of Isildur pans out later?
Well, first off, he says that Isildur's just, they set him up like that because he just sort of like swings at Sauron and with his broken blade. That's 100% what happens. He's not like some great leader or whatever. Maybe right. He is a great leader of men. And as far as like politics are concerned, but no great warrior. He lost that fight and then happened to catch dude's finger in that sword fight. Now, as far as like setting up Isildur to be like a generally unlikable character, I don't think that they did that. I think they actually tried to make him like somebody who yearns for a great adventure and is kind of stuck with his lot in life and wants to get away. And it just didn't play out, I think, the way the showrunners intended him to be. But the way, and we talked about it, I think, in the episode that was just you and me, but the whole plot line with that entire group of all of the Numenoreans was so bad that like it made us kind of actively dislike all of them.
Sure.
And so I think that Isildur was actually intended to be a fun character and just did not play out that way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Similar vein. Like I don't think we necessarily hate Isildur, the character or the actor that's playing the character. I think it's just in a show that is only 8 episodes long. Mm-hmm. They're an hour each. There's limited character real estate in these episodes. And so when you've got a bunch of interesting things happening at the same exact time to like take away from the stuff that's actually interesting and talk about this, you know, we know Isildur is important, right? But the way that they were presenting him in the show, his storyline just was not important. So it was mm-hmm. a lot of like, why are we focusing on Isildur just wanting to be on a boat or like go west when all this more interesting stuff's happening? And I think they're laying the groundwork for more interesting things that they can do with him in next season. Mm-hmm.
He should have been in like 2 episodes. Should have been like a hint at, hey, somebody like name dropped thing. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it could be like he showed up in the fight at the end and then, you know, quote unquote perishes. But they overused him. They didn't have anything to make him do.
Yeah, there wasn't any
reason to care.
And I'll be the first to say, I said it on Andy and I's coverage, I think the last 3 episodes of the season were very strong. And I think that they fully set up what is ultimately going to be a really good show for season 2. At least it seems like to me. There's a lot of characters that I like. It just seemed I was just kind of struggling, and it was probably colored and contextualized by the fact that we were covering so many shows. And then like I do a lot on TikTok. Like that's takes a lot of my time. I still have to have a full-time job, unfortunately. And so when it became time to sit down and watch Rings of Power for this podcast, it seemed like the one thing I wasn't like over the moon about that I was being forced to do. And so I maybe was a little harsher than I meant to be, but I also want to be honest to you guys. And sure. I don't feel like journalistic integrity per se when I do this, but I do feel like I'm not going to lie to you folks about how I'm feeling about something. And it's unfortunate that I also don't want to, bash something to the point that it like ruins someone's, like, cause if you're tuning into a podcast about a show, 99 times out of 100, it's because you love the show so much that you want to like stay in that universe more. You want to talk about it more. And so obviously I don't want to just like bash it into oblivion or something, but so it's a fine line I walk. Damn it. My journalistic integrity and the fact that I'm aware that only fans are listening. Right. But that's my thinking on that. So I just want to touch on that part of the email as well. I just didn't mean to go too hard, but I don't want to lie.
We did get an email from someone else too, right? That was like, I'm out. And then they ultimately
came back,
stuck around.
They came back. And I appreciate that too. Thanks for reaching out if that's how you're feeling about something, but
sure.
You know, never feel like I'm attacking you as a person or something like that, but I can understand that. You know, if I was listening to a Stranger Things podcast and then they were just like really bashing every episode, I would not listen anymore. Right. Cause that's not what I want from the show. However, if I listen to and this happens all the time, like a podcast about just people that talk about films in general constantly, and they are bashing a movie that I loved, I just disagree. And I listen to their next episode. And, you know, that happens a lot. But I can understand with a specific show that would get exhausting. Mm-hmm. Our next email, Andy, read it from Daniel W. And that's an email about just somebody who just really likes the show and has heard a lot of bad criticism of it, I think. So that I think that fits in line.
So Daniel W. writes, "My dudes, just finished the finale, and I gotta say, I have absolutely loved Rings of Power. I have always been a huge Tolkien fan because of the world and lore and creativity of his stories. It's always allowed for a beautiful escape that hits home for me in so many ways. Lord of the Rings was my introduction to fantasy and was the first real story to show how fantasy can tell such a beautiful story, touching on real world themes, sometimes better than a story based in a real world can. Lord of the Rings has led me to so many amazing fantasy worlds out there, and I've always loved being immersed in created worlds. But life got so busy, though, that I haven't been in it like I was at one time in my life. Rings of Power has completely reignited that passion, and I've already busted back out my Lord of the Rings books to reread and am looking into new fantasy worlds to invest in."
You'll love to see it.
For real, man. That's me with Harry Potter every time. Rings of Power obviously has flaws. It paces weirdly at times. It doesn't stick with the Lord of the Rings lore. I'm not sure I can handle another slow-mo ship or horse riding scene. You and me both, dude. Lord of the Rings fanatics are going to lose their minds over Gandalf arriving in the Second Age, or Halbrand never guising as Annatar, or Isildur not being back on Numenor when it's about to end, or rings being created in different timing than in the books, or the Mithril, or whatever. There's plenty of deviation and recreation from the original story for everyone to find something they hate. Everyone is entitled to love what they love and hate what they hate. But this Amen. Show, in my opinion, did Tolkien justice. It immersed me back in the Middle Earth. It made me love dwarves and not understand elves. Yeah. It made me love dwarves and not understand elves and hope that humanity can overcome its own inherent evil. It dabbled in magic, but didn't overwhelm you with it, making most of the magic more natural outflows of the earth than spell casting. I loved it all so, so much. I didn't see Halbrand coming till last week. Even wrote y'all a deeply flawed diatribe about why I thought he was the Witch King. I didn't really believe they would make the stranger Gandalf, but I thought they did those reveals beautifully. Even if going back, I see how telegraphed they were. Props to y'all for getting on that train early. Anyway.
Y'all?
Uh-huh.
I was the one on the Gandalf train, I think.
I felt like that okay, was Gandalf. Yeah, right. Weren't we for the longest time saying that was definitely Gandalf?
Yeah.
And maybe eventually we were like, that's too obvious. It might
yeah,
be
we thought it was so obvious. Yeah. It was a red herring. Yeah. And I posited a Sauron thing. But anyway.
I like that Sauron idea.
But Daniel finishes. Anyway, I just wanted to ultimately express that this show is what I wanted. It wasn't rushed. It was beautifully shot. It created a meaningful story and re-immersed me back into the world of fantasy and into Middle Earth. I'm so happy with it. And I can't wait for season two. Y'all are awesome. Can't wait to listen to the show.
Dan, well said. Hear, hear.
Yeah. Amen, Dan.
Maybe not well read. I apologize for stumbling over my words, but you know, you wrote us a book and I wanted to read every last word of it.
It can't be tough. It can be tough, you know?
Yeah. And he's right though. Like, there are people who are upset at like the different changes to the lore, but he speaks to this. I think the show really nails the spirit of Tolkien.
Exactly.
In a very great way.
And there's a very real like business reason that it deviates. They don't have the rights mm-hmm. to the period that the show is talking about. Right. And so they did their best to kind of fan fiction it into something fun for Lord of the Rings fans. And I love that he took it from, you know, he's very clever in that email and listing all of the deviations from, and so you can, you can tell it's someone who knows the lore and could be one of the guys that's upset. And he's just saying,
it's still dope.
I think it's great, man. It got mm-hmm. me back into the universe. And I get that vibe because there's a lot of that in my own personal obsession is the Song of Ice and Fire universe. And there's deviations galore. And you know, I just made a video today about how I liked, Arya killing the Night King in the show. And like, that's a deep lore no-no, right? Because it shits all over the prophecy of Azor Ahai. And I'm getting so many nerds cussing me out on the internet. But basically, I'm the Dan of that universe. I'm just saying, hey, man, I just love the universe. I had a good time. I think the essence of it was there. And that moment was executed well. I'm excited to watch more stuff in that universe, right? So
that moment's dope. Justice for Chris.
Yeah. yeah. One guy literally, his comment was, way to ruin your TikTok career.
Oh, he's done.
And I replied, what a weird thing to say on so many levels. our next email comes from Elizabeth C., and it will be read by our very own Steve, very much appropriately, as you will see.
Elizabeth writes, hey, dudes.
So look at the subject line.
Steve! That's the subject line.
This is a second email also that started calling us dudes, and I love it.
My dudes. Hey, dudes. I've been binging your podcast since the end of Stranger Things wrapped. Like, went back to episode one and only skipped shows or movies I haven't seen yet. First, for the need of any more Stranger Things any way possible. Second, I fell in love with you all, and you fellows made me laugh out loud and have little joys while driving and working, sometimes yelling out loud during game show episodes or misreferences because you're not quite old enough to remember the 80s. No shade intended. I've been meaning to message for a while and had some eloquent and beautiful things to say, but don't remember in this moment, sad face. In a nutshell, don't stop what you're doing. Y'all are great. Heath Bar's rule.
Let's fucking go.
I thought you read Heath Bar's rule and you were going to skip over that part.
So did I. I was like, I was going to come in.
Well, no, because what do you call that when
come
it's
in
a,
hot?
When it's a
like a line break or something?
Yeah, there's a line break and my brain thought that was like a capital I. And I'm like, ah, wait, no, that's not right. Oh, it's a line break. Okay. They continue. Moving on. Rings of Power. I'm so glad you all covered this show. I couldn't wait to hear your breakdown this morning. I love listening to Chris and Andy discuss, but damn it. I was so ready to hear Steve revel in his Sauron victory. To be fair, I was with Chris every time he told Steve he was absolutely wrong about it. Well, Elizabeth, you heard my reveling in the top of the hour, but God damn, it felt good to be right about Halbrand. He ain't deceiving a deceiver.
Mm-hmm. 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 Never going to do that, baby.
He's been around since the, what was it? The before the breaking of the first sound or something. What was that cool line he said?
Just before the silence or since the silence, the something like that.
Disturbing of the first silence, the ending of the first silence.
Yeah, something like that. It was a cool line. Like, I like that one. Yeah, that was Elizabeth email.
Elizabeth C. I missed a few tidbits because Andrew, a few of these people actually sent us tons of emails and they get kind of stacked to where we can't read them well. But Andrew had a good kind of song of errors and corrections when he said it was Adar who first mentioned that Sauron was looking to make a power over the flesh.
That was the thing that I was screaming at the.
Oh, because we didn't know that.
Cause you were like, yeah, I think it was in episode one. And I'm like, guys, it was in the episode recap.
We don't watch the recaps. Yeah. Any hoozle. So there's that. We got a couple emails from Arian N and they read, hello, all. I loved your coverage of the Rings of Power. I think I enjoyed it more than y'all did. And a lot of people apparently, but you were great to listen to. I'm surprised that you didn't spend much time covering how cool and pretty the scene was when Halbrand reveals that he's Sauron and traps Galadriel into her mind. Everything was so gorgeous and scary and just off enough that it's a scene I've watched multiple times.
It really was cool.
It was. That was a great sequence that we did quite enjoy. Sometimes when we record these, especially when Andy and I were alone, we had multiple things to do that day that Steve typically does and stuff. So we were probably stressed.
Well, that and like, it's a very beautiful shot, but in the context of a much bigger like plot reveal. And so we tend to focus on that.
Sure.
Yeah. Focus on the plot reveal, not so much the dressing.
But you're correct. That was shot like everything in this show, stunningly. Also, funny tidbit. My husband always guesses the twist and had known Halbrand was Sauron for a pretty long time. Steve? And I was convinced it couldn't be because mostly I wanted them to be in love. Aww. I knew that couldn't be forever because we see Celebor in the movies.
Hello. Sorry, Celebor. Yeah. Sorry.
Tell me, where is my wife?
Tell me, where is she?
Is she with that Halbrand guy again?
Is he with that slut Halbrand?
We see Celebor in the movies, so I know he's alive somewhere, but still, I was just like, I just want them to love each other. Sad day for me. Thanks again for the great coverage. You guys are the best. Arian N. Yeah, everybody was shipping Halbrand and Galadi, and honestly,
rightly
I get
so.
It.
They've got off the charts.
He
chemistry.
Had sexy airs about him.
I mean, that shot when he's walking, when he's simply walking into Mordor, and they
one
like
does
show
not
him
do that
in his robe, and he's looking all goth.
Didn't he have like a crime hoodie?
He had a crime hoodie,
dude. He looks like he fucks. You know,
he does,
dude. Halbrand fucks.
He does.
He's gonna help
in a deceptive way.
Yeah, he deceives you.
Yeah.
He's in deceiving.
I had a bunch of really off-color jokes to keep going with that bit. I decided to scrap all of them. I am growing as a person. Our next email comes from Frederick F., and Andy is going to read it.
Frederick F. writes in, hello, Chris, Andy, and Steve, and bonjour to Le French Orc.
Bonjour to you.
I stumbled upon your podcast during Stranger Things 4 and devoured every back catalog episode. There's a magic balance in your combined three-way banter. Are you three ring bearers?
Indeed. I'm not going to tell you.
We are the elves.
These were forged secretly.
Massive Lord of the Rings trilogy fan. At the time of the release, I even had the opportunity to paint some action figure prototypes working in the toy industry.
Ooh.
And that is awesome. And the research and camaraderie from fellow fans was a blessing to my younger self. I tapped out during the Hobbit movies.
Same.
Yeah. And approached Amazon's show with grave trepidation. To be honest, getting to hear your podcast coverage was a major incentive to give the show a chance.
Hear that, Amazon?
I'm ever so glad I did, for real. The Rings of Power may be produced
Bezos.
by... may be produced by Isengard, but the creators have a clear, but the creators have a clear love for Tolkien and an impressive amount of ingenuity to weave an engaging story limited to the lore found in appendices, deftly skirting, not retconning, not blatantly adapting the Silmarillion. The writers managed to sprinkle such wonderful little gems of dialogue throughout, beautiful lines that I remember long after watching. For example, the shadow is but a small and passing thing, or the world's not so wide, we're just so bleeding small. That's the stand-up.
Don't wander off the trail. The sea is always right.
You forgot about the best line in the entire series. Give me the meat and give it to me raw.
Wait, wouldn't it be the, that's a recipe for some strong gravy.
It's a recipe for some strong gravy.
Oh, yeah.
But those lines stand up with the best of Jackson's moments. Deesa and Durin are fave characters of mine, and I really grew to love the stranger, and I'm thrilled for his arc. If the mark of a successful first season is generating excitement for a second one, The Rings of Power Season 1 is a champion. And I look Fair forward assessment. To the chance of enjoying it alongside you three. Much respect, Frederick.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But yeah, I agree.
I was staring at a postscript. That's the reason for the delay. Indeed. Very well said, Frederick. Thank you so much for writing in our next email.
Before we move on, from now on, Amazon is Isengard. That's fucking hysterical. Yeah,
that was a really good cut.
And it really did have some beautiful.
The packages are coming from Isengard.
My subscription to Isengard Prime has expired.
And he's absolutely right that what's important about a season one is like it hooks you in for season two. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like a limited series, it needs to establish legs. And I feel like it did. We were all a little iffy on the show midway through the season. And I feel like all of us by the end of the finale were on board for the next one, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I can say that.
I've never been more hyped for Rings of Power after the ending of the final episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really excited for season two.
Yeah, indeed.
So yeah, it shows a success.
Well said, Frederick.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. The past couple years have been a struggle for many of us. When you're struggling like that, it can be easy to focus on all your problems rather than the ways you can solve them. If this sounds familiar to you, maybe a therapist can change your way of thinking to become a better problem solver. Many of you know that my wife and I recently separated, and I've been silently struggling through that for a while. I wanted some help dealing with the problems that situation brought, so I gave BetterHelp a try. It was honestly such an easy experience. I answered a brief questionnaire, said what I was looking for in a therapist, and before I knew it, I was paired up with a therapist of my choosing. Together, we are making goals to help get the tools I need to become a better problem solver. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, I highly recommend BetterHelp. It's easy, accessible, and most of all, affordable. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/streamingthings.
And now a word from our sponsor. And this week, it's Wondery. Go deeper into the canals of Numenor, the mines of Khazad-dûm, and more with the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast. Host Felicia Day. Otherwise known as Nerd Royalty.
The queen herself.
She's from Critical Role. She was in The Guild. Yeah. She was in The Magicians, Supernatural.
Dr. Horrible Sing-Along.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Horrible Sing-Along with deep cut for only the coolest of cools. Mm-hmm. Yep, she's the host, but also has special guests to provide an inside look at the groundbreaking series and what it took to bring Middle-earth to life. Each episode is a recipe for strong gravy. That's what Disa would say.
She absolutely would.
And features exclusive interviews with the series showrunners, J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, including the very first full breakdown of the incredible season finale. Felicia also goes behind the scenes with the cast and crew to bring you jaw-dropping stories and Easter eggs you won't want to miss. We're talking Mithril. We're talking Elven lore, Valinor, maybe Numenorean. We don't know how deep they go. Hopefully not too deep.
But you can listen to it greedily. Yeah, all right?
Please don't delve too deep.
So rattle your dags, quick sticks, go subscribe to that RSS feed. Do it now.
Absolutely. Watch The Rings of Power on Prime Video and listen to all 8 episodes of the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast for free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app now. Our next email comes in from Crystal, read by our very own Steve. Steve May 13.
Hey, Crystal here. I have a rings question. So the elves make the 3 elven rings, which contain Mithril. Mm. Then in the first Lord of the Rings movie, they say that 7 rings were given to the dwarves and 9 to men. Did these also contain Mithril? Who made them? Why does the One Ring Sauron made rule them all? Best podcast ever. And she says, love my Discord family. Keep up the good work. Crystal is in the Discord. She's crushing. The Discord's popping off. You guys should become a patron member.
Yeah.
So you can interact with Crystal, who is known as Jean Possible there.
I know. I'm always thrown off. Some of their names are actual names in Discord and nothing like their real names. Oh. And so when the emails come in, like when Jordan Esk from Discord, I didn't know. Right. It took me a while to put that together. It's Casey.
Yeah.
Anyhoozle. Yeah. The Mithril is a show conceit in the fact that that's in the rings. They did something completely different with Mithril than the lore does. So I can only assume that Mithril is in the other rings. And yes, you're correct that 7 were given to the dwarves. And we'll probably, I think our theory on the finale coverage was that the second season will be
about the dwarves' rings.
Yeah, dwarf focused. And then the men would cap off a season 3, like into the show, perhaps. That's our theory, and we're sticking to it for now.
I mean, really, we all know where the show's going based off the song at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. 3 Bill rings for the Elven kings.
Yes. And I, why does the One Ring Sauron made rule them all? Because that's how he designed it. He wanted to rule the whole world.
He's a trickster.
He wanted Galadi by his side, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, for real.
Me too.
A little side piece.
Well, no, that main wife, actual. No,
yeah. She was going to keep him on the straight and narrow.
By his side.
Yes.
She was going to keep him on the straight and narrow, you know?
Yeah. He's like, you can hold me back from genocide. I tend to do that without a strong woman to guide me.
I'm broken, but you can fix me.
Yeah.
I do like how she was, you could tell she was tempted to be like, okay.
Of course she was. I was tempted.
I'm down. But then when he was like, oh, so we can rule this Middle Earth together, which a small thing, I love how he calls it this Middle Earth.
Because there are others.
There are others.
Oh, like planes? Mm-hmm. Dimensions.
This Middle Earth, and as soon as she realized that he wants to rule and have dominion over everything, she was like, "Ah, no, I can't do that, bro. Sorry, man.
Just not a fascist.
Ain't in my blood.
I mean, you're hot, but I am not a fascist.
Galadi don't fuck with fascists.
She doesn't. But yes, we love you too, Crystal. Thank you so much for your email. I hope that's answered your question. And you said who made them, but it's Halbrand as Sauron with the help of Celebrimbor that made the rings.
Hello.
Thank you.
Forces for evil.
Really sad about my fascist help. However, hello.
Sometimes I need to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
That's the kind of guy he is for sure. Our next email we read by Andy, and it comes in from Aaron C.
I don't have that one.
Uh-oh.
It'll be read by Chris. And it says, hey, guys, ahead of our mailbag episode today, I would really love for Steve to recreate his reactions from watching the last Rings of Power episode and share with us, as we all missed him on the last one covering the last episode. I guess we kind of did that. Yeah. On another note, listening.
Just search the Louise laughing at fire gif. And that's basically what I was doing the entire episode.
I know. Again, we didn't actually get to talk to him about this until a couple of days later. So we're right there with you, Aaron. Can't wait for the Burbs episode for patrons. That'll be coming soon. And then would love to hear
the Burbs is a main feed episode.
Oh, it will be.
Yeah, great, it's great. A chosen episode.
And then would love to hear more from you guys about Andor. I know Steve asked me to come last
Austin
Wednesday, I think.
All over his face, neck, and chest.
Thanks, Andy. and yeah, I'm still recovering from that. Andy's that guy.
Oh my god!
Like, you want to leave something like a pun, and then Andy will just obliterate it. You know what I mean?
You know, just hammering it home. Make sure like, the people get the reference.
I opened the door for Andy, and Andy just ran through the wall. Every
time, Mr. Kool Aid.
You're welcome.
He's the Mr. Kool Aid of gallows and Come fart jokes. Humor.
Yeah, I stand by it.
Hey man, I'm not knocking you. Yeah. But yes, Andor coverage was supposed to be had last week, but then I realized that I was out of town with Andy actually for a wedding, which we were going to do like episodes 1-3, like we did. And then, you know, 4, 5, and 6. But then that week I was out of town. Last week for episode 7, Steve was like, why don't you come over? We'll talk about it, buddy. And I was like, definitely. But I wanted to watch a Pearl and X double feature in the A24 screening room at that time. Anyway, we're loving the show Andor, and we would love to talk about it. We're just exhausted, and we don't know.
Comes out on a Wednesday, which is actually
a weird time.
It's not a great day for because we record mostly on Sundays.
Yeah.
So it's like by the
and Fridays.
And then Hot D comes out on Monday. So by the time the Andor episode would come out, it's like, what's going to be
what are we going to
date within that day?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a weird time.
So we are loving it. We do want to talk about it. We'll at least do a huge deep dive episode when it's all over. But I think we'll find time soon to just kind of hop in there. I mean,
yeah, it's so good.
We still don't know for sure if there's enough interest in that. I mean, the one Andor episode we did didn't do that well. And we've gotten a lot of emails and messages.
We've been getting a lot of messages about it, though. Like each week, I think more people say like more Andor. Like, hey, I sent in a Hot D message, but hey, Andor, keep it going.
That's true. It is picking up steam, I think. So, and it's a great show.
Andy hasn't even watched it.
I haven't had the time.
I wish we were covering Interview with a Vampire. That show is fucking incredible and like really something special. Just throwing that out there. If anybody wants to talk to me privately about it, you can DM me on Twitter. I'd love to talk about Interview with a Vampire. Super good. It's tough because it's on AMC Plus. So it's like, who's watching it?
Who Bunch has of nerds. That?
Me. Yeah. That's because of the show.
I don't believe in AMC.
Yeah, I subscribe to it because of Interview with a Vampire. And then Gangs of London season 2 is dropping right after Interview with a Vampire in the US. It's already available elsewhere on AMC Plus in November. So I'm going to keep my subscription. AMC's got me, baby. Mm. Got me, baby. And I guess I'll start watching Better Call Saul when I run out of Gangs of London.
I want to watch that too.
It's going to be good. By the way, those are 2 shows you guys have to watch. Kings of London, Interview with the Vampire. Trust your boy, Chris. Our last email, but we got a few Patreon messages, comes in. Andy, can you read Casey McCain?
Yeah, I found that one.
Andy, can you read Casey M?
Casey writes in, hello to my boys.
Saved it.
Yeah, good save, Chris.
Have you ever considered that the stranger on Rings of Power is a blue wizard and not Gandalf? He is tasked to go to the east where that constellation can be seen. In the lore, Alatar the Blue Wizard was the one who did this, right? I have limited knowledge and am by no means a Tolkien lore expert. Just curious as to your thoughts. Perhaps they are retconning Casey, a.k.a. Jordan-esque.
On the Discord.
Had not considered that.
I don't think there's any chance. I think that if... I don't know much about the Blue Wizards because I didn't read the Silmarillion at all, but I know that they don't have the rights to the Silmarillion, which would mean they don't have the rights to the Blue Wizards, right? Right? There's a lot of rights.
Right?
Also,
right.
There's a couple of lines in the finale that allude directly to Gandalf, specifically the, you know, always follow your nose, which is a word for word line of Gandalf in the original trilogy. And I think if they made him anyone else at this point, it would be an absurd maneuver. It's like what all wizards love hobbits and talking about their nose. Like,
yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, I think that they made too many direct references to the character that we know from film, Gandalf, for it to be anyone else. Me personally. Steve, what do you think?
I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, I'm all down for them having, you know, other characters.
I wish we got Saruman and
Wizards or Saruman. Like, I would love that. But the whole rights issue is really what kind of has a lot of this sort of tied up. Like, I don't know if they can do that. Hopefully the success of the first season means that maybe they can get access to those things now and then they can start going down those paths. But we don't know that for sure yet. But I do think the stranger is Gandalf. I mean,
1,000%
at this point, it would be weird, like you said, if they're just like, "Ha, just kidding, it's Rosie."
Ooh, I would like to see Rosie again.
Yeah,
just at the tavern, slinging brews.
I love Rosie.
Everybody does.
So does Sam. And I see why.
A friend of mine from high school actually watched Lord of the Rings this week for the very first time, like the movies. She'd never watched them before, which blew my mind because she seems like the type of person who would be like all in on them. And so like I follow her on Instagram and she's been updating like her thoughts on Instagram. Like she just would take a photo of whatever she was watching and have her little thoughts. And the whole time she was like, why don't Sam and Frodo get married? Why aren't they together? Why don't they get married at the end of this? I'm like, well, Frodo had to leave because he couldn't stand watching Sam be happy with Rose. And she's like, I choose to make this canon.
that's how we feel happened.
Yeah.
Our last couple of messages came in on the Patreon feed, correct? Yeah, Steve, drop those on us, baby.
First one comes in from Tony Dare. We all know Tony Dare.
How dare you? Okay.
Tony writes, some side thoughts. He had a longer email about a bunch of different stuff, but this is the Rings of Power stuff. Some side thoughts I keep forgetting to bring up. Number one, for Chris.
Ooh.
I love Rudy. That is one of my favorite movies, and probably the main reason I wanted to see Lord of the Rings was because I was a big Sean Astin. I was a big fan of Sean Astin in Rudy and the Goonies. Then I got into the books, then Game of Thrones, then those books, and here we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Dilly is Nori's sister, not brother.
Oh, really?
Dilly was in the first episode, I think, all, quote, it's not...
All that, that's the who the fuck is that kid?
Yeah, so Dilly is the who the fuck is that?
It turns out it's a woman.
Turns out it's a little girl. Tony says, I think all the it's not a thing to eat our berries, is it? Like in the first episode when they had
the kids that they were watching.
Yeah.
Tony's right.
That's where Dilly is. And Dilly is the one that Nori says quick sticks to. Remember how we were like, oh, yeah, quick sticks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
OK,
so thank you, Tony. Tony ends with go towards goodness. Melons.
Melons.
I'm kind of bummed that Melons is getting destroyed in the...
I am not. I mean, it worked as an inside joke, but as like a catch-all term, I don't think it has legs.
I think it has legs. If you imagine doing a live show and you're like, where are my melons?
Steve, I don't like where this is going.
Oh, I love it. Show me your melons.
Yes.
If you're on the Patreon, they're currently deciding in a poll what streaming things fans are to be called.
Yeah, so. And I think Stream Fiends is winning.
Stream Fiends is currently winning. Fellowship of the Stream is in second.
God, I hope that doesn't win.
Yeah. Don't say that because then it will. Because everyone's like, oh, fuck you, RoboCop.
No, but yeah, that's true. I just think Stream Queens was such a good name, but Stream Fiends is close enough. It just rolls off the tongue, you know? Mm-hmm. Streaming Fiends is also cool. Somebody suggested that. But anyway, thanks for messaging, Tony. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
We got one more message, right?
The next one is from Stanton. Stanton has four. Oh, I'm sorry. We have three people. Sorry. So there's two more. So we're going to do Stanton's first. Stanton writes, number one, I screamed Steve when Sauron finally said he was Sauron. Number two, I wanted to call out that it was King Durin flippantly tossing the healed leaf into the Mithril chasm that awoke the Balrog. The most endearing relationship, in my opinion, was Elrond and Prince Durin, and I was legitimately worried Prince Durin's altruistic attempts to save the elves was going to awaken that beast beneath the boards. Ooh, that's a nice
hot D reference.
That's a hot D reference. It's possible continued mining would have awoken the Balrog, but I'm glad they specifically highlighted that King Durin was the asshat that manifested his own fears.
That's very true.
It's a good take. Pull. I like that, Stan.
Can we go back in time and edit it to where I say that in that episode's discourse?
No, the episode's already out.
Okay.
We can retcon.
I'm lazy. Number three, Stanton continues.
Ghost.
That's the best retcon ever. Number three, I fully expected the Numenoreans not to be in this finale except for Isildur. But instead, we got quite an extended focus on the king and them journeying back, and nothing with Durin and Disa. I kind of felt like they weren't sure which characters or storylines we would care most about. How did you all feel, seeing Elendil continue to be the realm's worst eyes for Queen Muriel instead of those other dropped threads? P.S. I'm surprised Elendil didn't quip, "Well, you aren't Queen Regent anymore," in response to her continuously unanswered questions of what the fork was happening. Before I continue, you guys have any thoughts?
I do think season two's focus will be almost entirely on the dwarven plotline.
Agreed.
And again, a lost Isildur. But so I think they're more like needed to get out of Numenor, which will be a saving grace of season two, more than like I was upset that they were lingering more there.
I love how half of the show, I feel like the writers had a giant post-it board on the whiteboard that said how to get out of Numenor.
Yeah.
How do we get out of Numenor? We got to get out of here.
Queen says they can go. Oh, then they have to discuss it again.
Yeah.
They had specific beats that they wanted to hit at specific times. So like the penultimate episode, we didn't get the Harfoots at all, but we needed the Gandalf reveal in the finale because that's the one that has you super hooked for the next season.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a bummer to not have Durin and Disa in the finale because they're like the fan favorites and ours too. But yeah, they kind of had to follow the threads as they had laid them.
Agreed.
And Stanton's final point.
Stanton.
Y'all know good storytelling. Why do you think they decided to make this a mystery box show? The finale felt like it was doing all of these reveals, but not a single one was unexpected.
Ugh, speak for yourself about Halbrand, sir. Steve is a genius for that one.
Well, that's what he's saying. Unexpected. I knew it was coming.
Well, he said not a single, unexpected by you. I get what you're saying.
Well, in a show that's built on established and well-researched and many a time adapted lore, it's impossible to have that many surprises. So,
yes.
Do you think of it as a mystery box?
I mean, he's not in the room. He can't answer that.
No, you guys. Maybe only in as far as like, is Sauron there and who is the stranger?
I get what he's saying. I mean, there was a hard focus on, I don't know why I sound like I was hawking a loogie there. There was a hard focus on like mysteries. And I think that they're like hyper aware of how the internet is now with like, you know, TikTok critics and Twitter and stuff like that. Like people really just love Easter eggs and unbreaking.
Especially things with deep lore like this.
Well. Yeah. Like, oh, that's the dagger from the first age that Chickaboomba was carrying. And like,
I love Chickaboomba.
People love that shit. And they really tried to like manifest that. But I think it ultimately ended up hurting the show, which is what Stanton's alluding to. Mm-hmm. Some of it was either so obvious, we just wanted them to get to it. Or like I said, I wish all this had happened by episode like 3 or 4. And I think you guys pretty much agreed with me. And again, now that we're there at post finale and like, oh, it's Gandalf and it's that Sauron. I'm so hyped for season two. And so, but I think that's they were trying to just create this like ravenous online interest, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you completely. I do want to say, because this is the only time I can really say this, I think, where it makes sense. But the final episode, because I wasn't here to talk about the final episode. The final episode had really, really strange pacing for me. Like it's. Like I'm excited for season two because I think where they end is great. But getting to the ending, I feel even though we had these like long slog of episodes that kind of slog through, the last episode felt like they were sprinting to something. Like we got to make them rings. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to get there.
Sure.
Like Halbrand's sick. Ice fine. it was just a lot of that, and I think that really kind of. And the thing that really, really was like the Halbrand thing that I just mentioned is, you know, I can hand wave that away like, oh, because he's Sauron, right? Sure. Yeah, he was put
deceive
on.
Them.
He was deceiving. I'm real sick. I got stabbed on the side of the road that no one saw happen. But the thing that really kind of was maddening to me was the stranger specifically going from illiterate to being a fucking post scholar.
Yeah.
In a matter of a minute, just because like they were like the cult of Sauron stood around him and it got all swirly.
That hyped him up.
Yeah, they're just being real hype, great hype men.
Well, I just think I explained
you're
that.
You're so dope, Sauron, but you're not Sauron. He's like, oh, I remember when.
I explained that as like the veil being lifted and, you know, the whole experience kind of jarred him more to his actual self. If I think I'm just willing to suspend my disbelief on that simply because I was so relieved that he could talk and it made it such more an interesting character.
I just wish they would have spent
some
like
guy slurping
even
snails over there.
Just spend like 30 seconds. You don't even have to spend that much time of him like
struggling.
You can see him. His eyes are flickering around because he's kind of like, oh, I've unlocked all this knowledge.
Seeing him waking up or
he's
something.
He's waking up from the fog that he's been living. But no, they didn't do that. They're just like, oh, I am freaking out. I'm going to pass out. But no, I'm really well spoken.
Hello.
Let me tell you, I've read several different copies of Tolkien's work. And I can tell you that the Second Age is maybe my finest and most favorite works.
Uh-huh. Learned a new word.
That's my name.
Is that another Little Rascals reference?
How can you not?
You have busted out Little Rascals in two separate episodes that have nothing to do with each other.
I can't help it.
I didn't know you were such a big Little Rascals fan. That's all I
know. The man eats Heath bars. Of course he was around when Little Rascals was famous.
Oh, come on, you guys. Act like you weren't fans.
Yeah, sure. I only saw the remake. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
And maybe once or twice, but I don't know any of the references except for that. What's that song that he sings?
I got a dollar. I got a dollar.
That one.
I got a dollar.
The main alfalfa he sings.
You are so beautiful.
To me. Like, I remember that.
I watched the hell out of that movie when I was a kid.
The only joke I remember from that movie is one kid's mom is Whoopi Goldberg. And so like, oh, that's my mom. And they're like, Whoopi. And then it smash cuts to Whoopi Goldberg.
Remember when they try to go to the bank and they're like, what's your account number? They're like, 7. Like that joke didn't land when we were kids.
But are they like three kids stacked in a trench coat?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's great. Anyway, sorry for the digression.
Yeah, they love it. I'm sure there's a few Little Rascals people in their fandom.
Well, the final Patreon message is from Stephanie P.
Hi, Stephanie P.
She writes, great Lord of the Rings show. I have a theory that the queen is part elf. I think that because they're always covering up her ears with her hair. It might be a styling choice, but it's bugged me since first seeing her. Fingers crossed that I'm right. Have a good weekend.
We said that about the little kid too, didn't we?
Theo, yeah. There's a lot of people with conspicuously hidden ears with their hair in this show.
Huh.
But what do you think about the queen potentially being part elf in this world that hates elves?
Hey, queen, what do your elf eyes see?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know what I think. What does that even mean? I mean, there's a very elf prejudiced society in which they live, for sure. Her dad is known to be friendly to elves. Perhaps it's because he had an elf lady friend. I dig it.
That's actually pretty solid.
I dig it. What do you think, Steve?
I think it works. One of these people are bound to be half elf at some point. Yeah.
Other than Elrond.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're half elf, you're basically just elf.
Yeah. That's what it seems, you know.
Because he's like fully accepted in the elf community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They joke with him. Like they half elf over there, you know. It comes up, but he's fine.
And we still love you, buddy. Just don't go to Numenor.
Valinor, yeah. I think that's an awesome theory. Hopefully it pans out. I think that'd be neat. That could add some dynamics to the Numenor.
Numenor.
Hey, my Numenorians.
I'm walking here.
The Numenor, yeah, it's kind of like the New York of Middle Earth, right?
Is it?
Yeah, because they like love Numenor. Like that's how New Yorkers are, right? Like, hey, their merch is I love New York.
Hey, you ain't had real pizza unless you come to Numenor. You get the Numenorian. Yeah. You eating that bullshit deep dish Hobbiton pizza? No thanks.
No thanks.
Coming to Numenor, I get you a slice.
You get the best public transit. I don't know why I went.
We got the best public transit.
That's not something they say, but I feel like they're pretty proud of their subway system.
We got decent property values.
We got the Jets and the Giants.
I pay $3,000 a month for an 80 square foot apartment in Numenor, but it's worth it.
I'm worth it.
Two blocks from Broadway.
That pizza.
And the pizza.
That public transit.
And the public transit.
Speaking of Broadway, you see that new play? It's all about a tree or some shit.
You're talking about the two trees?
You know it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I think that's all the time we have. I hope you enjoyed the Rings of Power mailbag. Thank you to all of the people, even if your emails were not chosen or selected. For writing in about the Rings of Power. We'll be doing a House of the Dragon mailbag a couple of days after Halloween is when it will debut.
Yeah, on the schedule, it's currently for a week from today.
Correct. So I don't know, when do you think they should have their emails in by?
Oh, I have them in by Friday.
Next
Friday. You have 2 days.
As you listen to this.
You have 2 days. So as you're listening to this, you have 2 days. If you're listening to this on
48
Wednesday,
hours.
You have 48 hours. Send them in because we're actually typically record on Sundays. This next week, we're going to have to record on Friday because it's a certain someone's birthday.
Yeah, that Sunday is October 30th is Andy's birthday.
Hey.
So send him your well wishes, even though he didn't earn it with that reaction at all.
You didn't get to see the face I was making. I'm real excited.
It was cute. If you saw the face,
he's an adorable little scamp.
Send your emails for Hot D by then. And again, thank you all for reaching out. Like some of you folks that are in our Discord and stuff are pretty much family at this point. I love you to death. Love you to death. But yeah, that's it for the Rings of Power for now. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I am Steve.
And this is Streaming Things.
The French Ox says goodbye.
Happy streaming.
Bye.
Go with au revoir.
Au revoir.
The French Oak says bye. It's time for the new patron shout outs. Thank you all.
Well, guys, I've got great news for you. We have new patrons to thank.
Yes.
Well, let's give a shout out to the people who joined up and became members of the Streaming Things family this month. First, in the Try Before You Deny section, we have Stanton and Valerie.
Stanton and Valerie, man, thank you so much. And never forget, just try before you deny, man.
Our new Marty B VIP producers include Ryan Bigger, Maggie, HHS Teacher, Hailey B, Abby Vollmer, Florida Josh, Christopher Corelli, and Alex.
Florida Josh, are you the man that all those articles have been written about?
Next up, we have our chocolate pudding producers. We have Tile, Jillian Sloan, Alex Lembeck, Jennifer Lynn Isvan, Lauren Hartzier, Morgan Quimby, Ryan J. Poole, Misa McDaniel.
Is that like a Jar Jar Binks thing?
Yeah,
Misa McDaniel.
Misa give you some bongo.
The planet core.
Erica Swanson, Courtney Kilpack, Michelle, Katie, Joe Velez, Barry, Jenna, Melanie Bordelone, Alicia Martinez, Isis, Amy S., and Jennifer Hardy. It's not that ISIS. We also have some Friends Don't Lie producers that joined this month. That is Claire Cumming Herrero and Jenna. And then we cannot forget the people who upgraded the Patreon. So these are people who were at lower tiers and decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to shoot for the distance. I'm going to make it rain.
I'm going for speed.
Yeah, they got one of those little guns that shoot dollar bills and they just shot it right all over us.
Mm-hmm.
First up, upgrading to the Try Before You Deny tier, we have Adam Horn.
Welcome, Adam.
He's a longtime contributor, Adam. Thank you so much.
Long time.
Upgrading to the Marty B VIP section because they knew it was so cool. There's Anina in there. We've got Maria, Ali Awald, Rachel Malloy, and Tony Dare.
I Tony Dare you guys to upgrade further.
Well, one person took you up on that. They upgraded to the chocolate pudding tier, and that is Jenna.
Jenna, welcome and Jenna. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have found the chocolate pudding. Well, thank you all so much. And keep it going, man. Just keep it. Stay in the family. We need you here.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.